This is The Huddle.
This is what we do.
Every Thursday from noon to 2, presented by Bickford Ford. The Huddle.
Welcome back into The Huddle with Dave Wyman, Jake Heaps, and Stacey Ross. We're going to be joined in just a moment by cornerback Trey Flowers, who managed to hold DeAndre Hopkins, best receiver in the league, no offense to DK Metcalf, to just 51 yards against the Arizona Cardinals, and he'll have his work cut out for him throughout the rest of the season. But this defense with a nice chance to kind of get right, get a few takeaways against Carson Wentz and the Eagles, Jake. Carson Wentz with 14 interceptions to 14 touchdowns, been hanging on to the ball a little too long, doesn't have the offensive weapons that he used to, but also just not the quarterback that he used to be. And I got to go back to you know, that original. Actually, joining us right now is Trey Flowers. Trey, first of all, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thank you. So we were just talking about the Seahawks' defensive performance against the Arizona Cardinals. Trey, I've got to be really honest, and I felt bad saying it about you because both you and Shaquille are such nice people in person. You really are. But I felt like I was losing faith in the defense over the course of the year. The talent was there, and it felt like the execution wasn't. But against DeAndre Hopkins, you held him to just 51 yards. It was maybe your best performance of the season. Was there a moment you had leading up to that game where you had a heart-to-heart with the defense? I know you guys had a meeting. What was that like?
Yeah, before the game, we had an accountability meeting, and it was really just each position group going over each call and what we're relying on from each other and what you can count on me doing. And yeah, I think it helped out a lot going into the game.
Trey, what was this like? What was this week like for you personally? You know, Stacey just kind of highlighted the matchup that you were going to have of you know, being charged with covering DeAndre Hopkins for, you know, most of the game. I obviously weren't sure exactly where he was going to line up, if they were going to move him around a lot, but you ended up being one-on-one with him for the majority of the game, it seemed like. What was your thought process going into this matchup?
I just want my team to trust me, really. That was really the main thing. I talked to my strength coach from college the week of the game, and he put something on Instagram, and it was just something that I felt like he was speaking to me with. He told me to just step to my assignment with confidence and good technique. And some may think it's too big for you or whatever, but you don't do it for the naysayers anyway. And I just had that plan in my head all week, just what I planned on doing, what I was going to do, and it worked out.
Now, you guys so far this year have been great about takeaways. It is one of the areas where you guys have been able to excel as a team. Those haven't been as common the last couple weeks, but that's not for a lack of a pretty solid performance against the Cardinals. If you have to pick one guy on the defense, and you can include yourself, Trey, if you have to pick one guy on the defense who is primed and ready to get this next takeaway, who has just been, like, inching close to one, like he's on the verge of getting one?
It's definitely me. I'm well overdue for one. I had one in the Cowboys game that kind of put a hole in my chest. So I'm long overdue for an interception or a fumble or something.
Yeah.
Well, Trey, I'm very excited to see that happen potentially. One of the other things I think we're all excited, and you guys have a unique week this week because of Thanksgiving. You guys are actually going to get the day off tomorrow to be able to celebrate the holiday. How are you going to be celebrating? Obviously, it's going to be very different and strange compared to normal holidays, but how are you going to be celebrating?
I got my family here. I got my daughter. I got my girlfriend. I'm not cooking. I'll tell you that. I'll be watching film and smelling all the good food and ready to eat and try to teach my daughter what Thanksgiving is really all about.
Oh, what's the best Thanksgiving dish, by the way? We've been having a very heated debate all day.
Ooh, that's actually really hard. I would go, my grandma makes everything from scratch. She makes her dressing, her stuffing from scratch, so I love that.
Thank you. That is the best one. Correct answer.
Trey, one of the other things that I was noticing with your play this last game was, you know, you talk about trusting your keys and your assignments, and it really seemed that way on the field, Trey. You were very aggressive at times, you know, not bailing as hard and all those things. Was that an extra emphasis for you, or is that just a level of, you know, being confident in what you're seeing?
I think it goes into being a little bit of both. You know, just being confident and being aggressive. That's the type of player I want to be. That's the type of player I am. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, just stepping to it. Just the main thing for me is really just putting it all together. I show flashes of myself and good coverage and good tackles. And I want to just put it all together. I want to be the complete player. That's what I try to do every week.
Yeah. Trey, you guys do have some new faces this year that we haven't really had a chance to talk to much, so hoping you can give us some insight. I'll start with DJ Reed. He made his debut in Week 8, and you've probably worked most closely with him between him and some of the other guys. What's his past couple games been like? He looked really impressive last week, too, along with you.
Oh, real great player, real athletic. He studies just as much as I do. We watch film the last couple of weeks together so much. So I knew he was prepared. I knew he was ready to go.
Now, Trey, what is Carlos Dunlap like? Because we see him, and he seems like this kind of, you know, goofy personality, but so energetic and excited to be a part of the organization. What has he been like in the locker room and for your team?
What you see is what you get. I'm sure he's up right now making jokes with somebody and laughing. And wherever he's at in the building, he's having fun. And, you know, you just try to feed off a guy like that, a vet, and try to have fun as much as you can.
Yeah, is that kind of a breath of fresh air as you guys are kind of struggling as a unit and you guys are so hyper-focused on what's going on right now here in the moment, and you get somebody on the outside who brings a different perspective? What has that been like for you guys?
It's definitely different for me. I would speak for myself in this point. I've never been anywhere else. So hearing his stories when he comes in and how much he loves it and how different it is in other organizations, it's eye-opening for me. And, you know, I take it with a grain and try to go on with it and try to have fun with everybody else. But it's definitely eye-opening for me.
All right, Trey, what I loved about Carlos Dunlap is that he called ball game before getting that sack of Kyler Murray. So Jake and I will be holding you to the following. Number one, you're going to be getting the next interception, the next pick, the next forced fumble, fumble recovery, whatever it is. It's got to be Trey Flowers. We're holding you to that. And number two, tell us you're getting the win over the Eagles Monday night.
Definitely.
All right. We're holding you to it. Thanks for joining us. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
All right. We're going to be joined by the voice of the Seahawks, play-by-play man Steve Rabel. That's next on The Huddle.
This is The Huddle, presented by Bickford Ford, every Thursday from noon to 2 on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Welcome back to The Huddle with Dave Wyman, Jake Heaps, and Stacey Ross. Joining us now to get us ready for Monday night's game, Steve Rabel, voice of the Seahawks. Steve, how are you?
Hi, guys. Good. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you except Dave.
Happy Thanksgiving, Raves. I would expect no other introduction. This is very on brand.
See what I was talking about.
I want you each to say one thing you're grateful for with each other. You guys are both working this
booth. One thing I'm grateful for, that what?
Here's what I'm grateful for, that this year I've only had to see half of Rabel's face.
See, that's nice. That's something to be grateful for. Rabes, how about you?
I'm grateful that I get to talk to you guys every week.
There we go.
Love to hear it. All right. We're looking ahead at this Monday night game. Seahawks defense with a really nice opportunity here to kind of continue that performance from what you saw in the Arizona Cardinals. I want to first, before we look ahead to that game, go back to that Thursday night win. What was maybe the best thing you saw from that game? Whether it's the best individual performance, the best step forward, what was the thing that you went to bed that night and thought, I'm so glad we saw that?
Well, I think one of the things that we talked about the last time we chatted, and that was seeing everybody play their positions and handle their responsibilities and you know, do their jobs and play together as a unit. When you watch them, and they did continue to blitz some, but they, you know, I think Kenny Norton Jr. really, they picked their spots when to blitz. They pulled back out of it several times. I think that confused Kyler Murray a couple of times. They were able to contain him. Just everything that they appeared to really want to do defensively. Yeah, okay, they gave up a couple of shots, you know, in the middle of the field, which tends to happen sometimes, especially with a team like Arizona that has such an excellent running quarterback. And you, if you're the middle linebacker or any of those underneath cover guys, you always have to have at least one eye on him. But still, I just thought they played so much better together and with a real urgency. And if we can see that continue, and if I don't want to take any of your glory here, but if they can have that continue through this coming Monday night against a team that is really struggling offensively, it could really set the Seahawks up for a nice stretch run.
You know, Ribs, we were talking about how good has DJ Reed been. I mean, we've called his name so many times. I think he's going to break one this year. But now all of a sudden you're getting healthy in the defensive backfield, and when Quentin Dunbar comes back, especially, it's going to be crowded back there. But good problem to have, I guess, since they started out with a ton of injuries in the defensive backfield.
Well, it really is a good problem to have. You can't have too many good cornerbacks, and just like we've always often said, you can't have too many really good pass rush defensive type ends. But I think that he's playing really well. In fact, you know, Shaq is supposed to be back. Shaquille Griffin's supposed to be back this week. So do you put him in his place and then continue to have Trey on the other side, who's also picked up his game? So all of a sudden now you have, when Quentin Dunbar comes back, you'll have four guys with a lot of starting experience back there, at least for this season, and that bodes well as the season rolls on, because it, you know, it's the way things are going, it's impossible to believe you're going to get through the rest of this schedule without getting another couple of guys hurt. I bite my tongue when I say that. And we hope that, and the Seahawks have done the best job of anybody in the league at not having COVID invade the VMAC. So, you know, you hope that everybody gets healthy and stays healthy, but chances are, you know, you're going to lose a guy or two to an injury, even if it's just a week or so. So having that experience is really helpful.
Rabes, one of the guys who has always been kind of an unsung hero of this defense and continues to be is KJ Wright. I mean, here he is at age 30. He's 10 years in the league. That was always a goal of his, is to play 10 years in the NFL. And that's a very difficult goal for anybody. But he's been able to accomplish that and still play at a high level. How good has he been this year?
Well, I think he looks as good or better than the last couple of years, frankly. And that's no knock on how he played, because he played really well. But I just think he's, you know, what he does is he takes, like Bobby does, they take on the responsibility of being those leaders. You know, he's the longest tenured guy on that defense. I think the longest tenured guy on the team, actually, going back to what, 2011. And so he is the kind of guy that you want as that leader. But he makes sure that guys, you know, play the positions. Dave, I remember during the game, there was a moment where I think it was a read keep option, and Murray goes out to the left side, and KJ played it absolutely perfectly, turned everything back inside, and then made the tackle. And I saw you just get tickled about it, because that's exactly what you want that guy to do, and he knew exactly what to do.
You know what I would have done, Rabes, in that situation? I would have closed my eyes and guessed.
I was going to say you'd have fallen down and called for help.
Yeah. But 50-50 chance there. But no, I mean, yeah, I got really excited about that. Is there anybody more dangerous in the open field right now?
No.
I mean, he's like
no.
a modern-day Barry Sanders, I think.
Yeah, or Michael Vick. Remember the days of Michael Vick, how difficult he was to defend against. And now you have that in Kyler Murray. But, you know, I think they've, after a couple of games, the Seahawks kind of figured things out a little bit against those guys. And now you got a guy coming up in Philadelphia, in Carson Wentz, who's not that kind of scrambler. But listen, the guy can run. He scored 5 touchdowns on the ground this year running the football. He scored more rushing touchdowns than anybody on that team. So you can't take him lightly, even though he's thrown 14 picks on the year.
Now, Rabes, you're the voice of the Seahawks. You got to be watching everyone, obviously, because you're calling this game. But who are you keeping your eye on when it comes to that strength you were just talking about for Carson Wentz? Who needs to have a great day for Seattle?
Wow. Well, you know, Carlos Dunlap has been quite the addition to this defense, mostly because, and I don't take credit for thinking up this, but I think, you know, Pete talked about it. I've read a number of articles here in the last few days about what he has meant to the defense in opening things up for other guys. And that, you know, you can't discount that. That's a big deal. So against a guy back there who's you know, a big, strong guy, but doesn't have those quick feet like Kyler Murray to get out of trouble, he's more like a Jared Goff. And if you can, you can contain him inside with those defensive ends. LJ Collier's played well on defense. But, you know, I think it always, too, on defense, it's going to come down to Bobby in the middle, making sure everybody gets to where they need to be. And Jamal Adams, I think this is going to be interesting because Wentz likes to throw to his tight ends. His three tight ends combined have 68 receptions. So he likes to get that ball to those guys. He's not as good throwing it downfield. I think it's going to put pressure on guys like Jamal Adams and on Quandre Diggs and on Bobby and KJ. Those crossing routes, those short turn-in routes, those routes that quarterbacks like to go to when the pressure's on them to get rid of the football. And so I think, you know, that whole middle of the Seahawks defense is really going to have to be on guard this week.
He is Seahawks play-by-play man Steve Vrabel. You can hear him, obviously, for every single game and some of his calls the following week. When we play those highlights, I'm hoping we have quite a few from this game. Vrabes, I am going to put you on the spot and make you give us some kind of prediction. Maybe it doesn't have to be a score, but I'd love a score if you have one.
Oh, wow. You know, I'm terrible in the prediction business.
Oh, I am, too.
When you can ask Dave, I literally am the worst. But, you know, all I'll say, and I always say, I always couch it this way, if they play up to their capabilities, if the Seahawks play the way they have been trending in the last few weeks, and that is not only playing really good defense, but getting Chris Carson back, running the football, I think this is a game the Seahawks should go back to Philadelphia on Monday night. They've got great record under the bright lights of Monday night. They should very well go back there and win that game. I don't know that it'll be a runaway, but I think they should win that game without it coming down to the last play.
You know what? Right. It's going to be 17-9 again.
Don't
is it really?
That.
Yeah, because remember it did.
That.
It was the regular season, 17-9.
Last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. They also got like 7 or 5 sacks in that game, some ridiculous number.
7,
yeah.
I think,
yeah, and then let's look forward to more of those. And, again, I'd love to see Chris Carson carry the ball 15, 18 times, pick up about 85 yards along with Carlos Hyde. That's the way you control the football and you keep that Eagles offense off the field.
All right. He is Steve Vrabel. You can hear him every single week joining us on The Huddle. Thanks, Rabes.
Thanks, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. All right, head coach of the Eagles, Doug Peterson, spoke with reporters earlier today. Hear what he had to say about Carson Wentz, DK Metcalf, and Russell Wilson. That's next on The Huddle.
This is The Huddle, presented by Bickford Ford. Every Thursday from noon to 2 on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Welcome back to The Huddle with Dave Wyman, Jake Heaps, and Stacey Ross. Getting fired up. Good music choice here, Tariq. I like that one.
Hey, Rocky was filmed in Philly, and guess who
exactly.
The Seahawks are playing
That's
on Sunday?
Exactly right. That's right. On Monday.
I would have never made that connection.
Look, we're going to take ourselves to Philly with some sound from head coach Doug Peterson. I'm going to get started skipping ahead a bit. Cut number 6. He was asked about Carson Wentz's play this season. Before you go to hear Tariq, Carson Wentz has obviously struggled. He is playing unlike himself. He's got career highs in interceptions. He's also been sacked a career high 40 times. And keep in mind, we've still got a month plus to play. So Ruben Frank of NBC Philadelphia joined us saying he's on track to break records with that. It has not been a strong season. This is Peterson.
Obviously, it's not what he wanted or probably what we want right now with where he's at. And we're continuing to work through, some issues on offense. We've had a lot of injury up front with the offensive line, some young players on the perimeter that we're working through who are improving each week. And, you know, it's just something that, a work in progress, and we continue to work with Carson to get not only him fixed, but get the offense fixed.
Jake and Dave, they put themselves in a weird kind of spot by drafting Jalen Hurts in the second round. And now, rather than having someone who could just be any old backup that isn't going to create a controversy, if you switch and make a quarterback switch, all of a sudden people are wondering if you're looking ahead, but they're married to Carson with his contract for at least, I would guess, through next year. You've just got way too much dead salary cap. So, Jake, I know that there's a quarterback controversy brewing and has been brewing for a while in Philadelphia. Do you think they should stick with Wentz?
Yes. Yes, they should stick with Wentz. I think for everything that is going on right now, they have to stick with Wentz. Do I think Jalen Hurts is the long-term answer potentially? Yeah, I do. But if you're Doug Peterson and you're going to go out potentially after this season, how are you going to go out? Are you going to do it with somebody that you know and trust, or are you going to try and, you know, grasp at straws, which is essentially what I think this move would make if you're not overly confident that Jalen Hurts is going to be the guy that you need to make your team better. And to me, that's where I think Doug Peterson is in. He's not in a situation where he's watching Jalen Hurts and saying, we plug this kid is special, and when I watch him in practice, this kid is, you know, obviously we are holding him back because we have a starter that we have committed to. If I don't feel that way, if I don't have that conviction, if I'm Doug Peterson, then I'm going to continue to roll out there with Carson Wentz. And unfortunately, I do think that Wentz is not playing great football. He's making poor decisions. But I also think that he is, again, in a position where he is devoid of – there is a massive hole in talent surrounding him, and it just seems like musical chairs at the offensive line positions this season for the Eagles. And that is one thing that has plagued them over the last couple seasons.
Yeah, it's weird that Peterson said it's a work in progress. I'm like, it's getting late. I mean, he played 10 yes. games now, and 40 sacks, by the way, he had 37 all of last year. So, I mean, you know, it just seems like he's beat up. He does not look confident. I was watching the Red Zone channel, and just as soon as I turned it on, it was, I think, the interception that he threw in Cleveland that went for a pick six. And you could just see the look on his face. I mean, he's not confident. He doesn't have you're right, Jake. I mean, he doesn't have a ton of talent. Miles Sanders, I believe, is a second-round draft choice out of Penn State running back. But other than that, he doesn't have a lot of talent. I think Dallas Goedert might be maybe the next highest drafted guy. Zach Ertz not playing right now. So,
correct. Yeah.
So, but yeah, that he doesn't have a lot of weapons. It was the same thing last year when we got there. I mean, shoot, they had to move a right tackle. Yeah, with that practice squad. Greg Ward, who is one of their leading receivers, he's a mm-hmm. quarterback. You know, so, I mean, and then, you know, the other guy, the little tiny guy whose name eludes me.
Bart Scott.
Bart Scott. He was the guy that was, like, on the practice squad in New Orleans. They cut him.
Boston Scott, sorry.
Boston, yeah.
Boston.
Yep. Yeah, and 5'6", and just an awesome player. But, I mean, he's, like, one of your best players right now. So, you know, that there is a lack of talent around him. And then, you know, this Travis Fulgham guy from Old Dominion. Yeah, he's a leading receiver. In the last 2 weeks, he's had 12 targets and 2 catches. So, yeah, all of a sudden, the whole thing is breaking down. So it looks pretty bad there in Philly. When you think about who's going to win that that division, Philly does not look – I think Clayton thinks it's Dallas that's going to come through and win that. But – maybe it's the Giants. That's who I like.
I mean, speaking of the NFC East, cut number 8, here's Peterson talking about this division.
We're still in the hunt in the NFC East, and you know, sitting, as crazy it is, you're sitting on top with 3 wins. But, you know, it's going to come down to these last 6 games for you know, someone in the NFC East to win it. And, you know, I keep just focused on 1 week at a time, you know, 1 day at a time. You know, getting better today and getting out to practice later on and you know, trying to improve.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys, because of the way the schedule is set up, whoever wins this Thanksgiving matchup between Washington and Dallas will, at least temporarily until Philadelphia plays Monday night, take the lead in the NFC East.
Right.
That's correct. Yes.
Yep. And so who do you like, Jake? I like Daniel Jones, and I like the Giants. I feel like, you know, we'll see who wins that division. But, yeah, it's going to be, you know, kind of a, I don't know if this is going to reveal much about this team, the Seahawks, the next, what, 4 weeks. That's why that Arizona victory, and a lot of people, I heard somebody saying, well, it was, you know, 27-21, it still had to come down to, or 28-21, and it still had to come down to the last drive, but that was a team that was putting up 425 yards and a really good offensive team, and the fact that they were able to do that. But that was really important, because I don't think anybody's going to feel super secure after these next four.
Not until LA again, if they win.
Yeah. You know, you're still going to want to see more. And it kind of goes against what I always say, that like what makes a team dangerous is that they're in the NFL. Because every NFL team is dangerous and can beat you. But, you know, right now these guys are not playing well. And, you know, if you beat the Jets 21-20, people might start to freak out over that a little bit.
Now, that doesn't mean that this upcoming Monday night game isn't important. So, Jake and Dave, I want you to get your guys' blueprints ready for how you beat Philly. I will tell you mine. Step number one, score more points. End. Hopefully you guys have better ones. Amazing. We'll get back to it next in The Huddle.
This is The Huddle, presented by Bickford Ford. Every Thursday from noon to 2 on 710 ESPN Seattle.
I used to be a rolling stone, you know. If a cause is right.
All right, welcome back to The Huddle with Dave Wyman, Jake Heaps, and Stacey Ross. Wrapping this one up ahead of your Thanksgiving weekend, getting you guys ready for a Monday night primetime game between the Seahawks and the struggling Philadelphia Eagles. They've still got some weapons, but I think there should be, more often than not, an opportunity here for the Seahawks to not just beat the Philadelphia Eagles, but to feel pretty good about your defense heading into that game. So I asked you, Dave, and you, Jake, to come up with the blueprint to beating the Philadelphia Eagles. My answer is just to this kind of make Carson Wentz struggle early, sack him one or two times early in the game. He's been sacked 40 times this year. I think that he clearly struggles under pressure this year. So early enough in the game, get one or two sacks in there, and I think that that is enough to kind of fluster him.
You're basically saying what I said, and then you chastised me.
No, but
me,
Dave,
for
you said,
I said concuss Carson Wentz.
And I said,
it's
what
the same thing you're talking about. What
Dave,
do you mean?
You can't say that.
All right. Well, it happened last year. Hey, look, I played my best game on a concussion. As a matter of fact, before my show starts, and I'm going to do my third of 6 hours, I'm going to concuss myself.
No,
I'm going to go into the bathroom.
Dave,
no, Dave.
I'll do it in the bathroom. I don't see what the problem
is. So Dave says, hit Carson Wentz early.
Make football violent again.
Make Carson Wentz worried again.
I don't see what the problem is. I mean, come on. Yeah.
Spoken like a true linebacker.
All right. Seriously.
Okay.
I respect
fine.
I respect it.
I'll do the same thing as you then, okay. Stacey. I think with the coverage and the way they're playing now, they have Trey Flowers getting more confident, you know, and that was the game last year where I think he started to lose his confidence late in the season and in the playoffs. Now he's confident. So that, to me, is this isn't a great stable of receivers.
Yeah.
Again, this guy, Travis Fulgham, I mean, he started off on fire, but, man, his last two games, he's, you know, 12 targets, 2 catches for 16 yards. Ooh. So, you know, that's one of their leading receivers right there. So he just doesn't have a lot of talent around him. So if you get to Carson Wentz, and I was trying to think who told us this, but I guess on one of the plays, oh, I know, it was Michael Bradley, El Hombre. He was talking about how on one of the interceptions that he threw the pick six, that Dallas Goedert, I think, the tight end, was just wide open. And he didn't see him. So, but that's the thing, you know, Jake, you know this better than anybody. I mean, just because somebody's wide open doesn't mean you're necessarily going to see him. Sometimes there's a tackle in your way,
right,
or sometimes there's something flashing and you just don't see him. But, you know, he just doesn't have a lot of confidence right now. And I don't blame him because he doesn't have great receivers.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. And you just see him right now, and I just think that he's struggling. He's swimming right now with everything that's going on. I mean, you see that microcosm of, you know, Russell going through that a little bit in this last month. Carson Wentz is 10 times what Russell went through in that month in terms of, you know, devoid of talent, being in a situation where it's all on him, and you know, Carson really not handling that very well at all. And to your guys' point, this is interesting. The, you know, Seahawks PR tweeted out, since week eight, the Seattle Seahawks are second in the NFL in sacks. They've generated 16 sacks since week eight. That's a huge turnaround in pressure. And if they can continue to stay on that trend with the Eagles, I do think that that will be the biggest key to the game. If Carson Wentz is struggling and mentally he is having a hard time, well, don't make it any easier on him. Continue to make this a nightmare of a situation for him. But to me, guys, my key to the game, since you guys have been talking about defense, I'm going to flip over to the offensive side, and it is starting fast. It's not, when I say start fast, it's not just one drive. It's not the opening drive of the game that I'm talking about. They've had drives where they've opened up and scored early, and the game still finished relatively close at the end. What I mean by start fast is I think that if they start fast through the entire first quarter and they're able to get up to an early two-score game, I think the game's over. Mm. Very simply put. There might be some ebb and flow that happens within that game, but if they get up two scores within the first quarter, game over, done deal, they will be in a prime position to be able to ride that two-score deficit that the Eagles will have. They're just not a team that the Eagles are not a team that have the ability right now to come back and compete with a team like the Seahawks at this stage. And so to me, that's going to be the key to the game.
How important is it you think they get the running game going? Because I'm looking at Philly. Their defense is like, I think, 24th, 25th. They're giving up like 135, 140 yards a game. Excuse me.
Yeah.
So, you know, with Hyde, Carson, I saw a quote this week where Pete was just so fired up about Chris Carson. He's like, oh, I wish you guys could see him. He looks great. He's crushing it. He's all of these adjectives that, you know, that Pete uses. And, you know, and so, you know, if that's the case, I mean, I think that's really important because then, you know, you don't have to take a lot of risk. You don't have to throw a ton. And, you know, this is not a great run defense right now.
It is not a great run defense, but Dave, you'll really appreciate how they play, though. Jim Schwartz keeps everything really simple. It's cover one, it's cover three. They play downhill, they play hard, and they will play hard in the first half. When I watch these guys on film defensively, they get worn down in the second half of games. And they are hurting at the linebacker level right now. They've got a lot of injuries there, but they play hard. And the Seahawks offense in particular are going to have to earn it. And for the ground game to bust out the way that it has versus the Eagles, it's going to take patience. It's going to take a commitment to and willingness to run the ball. And quite honestly, you know, we had Ruben come on with us from earlier in the huddle, talk about, Ruben Frank come on and talk with us about this Eagles defense. I agree with him. They have not been tested in the secondary yet. I don't think they're sixth in passing defense because they're actually sixth in passing defense. I think it's just the teams that they have played. So I still think this is going to be a balanced attack led by the passing offense and Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett. But you're going to have that really nice balance of Chris Carson and Carlos Hyde coming downhill at this Philadelphia Eagle defense.
You know, they're getting Ethan Posick back at center, like you said, Dave, getting Chris Carson back. So you've got some pieces returning. You're right, Jake, though. We really haven't talked much about this offense. I wanted to ask the two of you specifically about that tight end position. You're going to be without Greg Olsen now for at least 4 to 6 weeks. Pete Carroll hoping that he can come back on the early end of that, but it doesn't sound like he'll be back in the regular season. So we aren't sure whether or how soon we're going to see Colby Parkinson, but how important does it become then for a guy like Will Dissly and Jacob Hollister?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because, first of all, Colby Parkinson yesterday, Pete Carroll said, we're going to make him play. That was his quote. We're going to make him play.
We're going to make him play.
Yeah. So, and I don't know if he meant to say that, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see what that guy brings. You know, he didn't have these huge numbers or anything at Stanford, but, you know, he's very slender guy. I mean, I don't think you're putting him out there to block anybody, But it seems like Hollister's starting to kind of heat up a little bit with Russ and with the play action, you know, with your tight ends. And that's where part of the, getting the running game going. You know, I felt like Dissly was going to have a really big year coming into this. And maybe it was too not fair to expect that from him because
no, I did
he's
too.
Coming off his second, you know, injury, major injury. But it's not, yeah. though, it's not like, well, maybe he's not getting open, but they're not targeting him that much. So I felt like it should be a bigger part of it, but maybe that will go hand in hand with them getting the running game going again, Jake.
Yeah, I agree with you. That will be a key factor, and it's a point of emphasis for Pete Carroll. And the one thing that I think has been beautiful about the way that this offense has functioned this year is they have been able to remain one step ahead. I think everything is centered through Russell Wilson, but Russell has been great, much like Peyton Manning in his day, to be able to look at the defense, and if it's a pass, I'm going to get to the run because that is the call that is going to get us the best output in this situation, not playing selfish football. And that's why I saw versus the Arizona Cardinals, and I think you're going to see that same exact thing against the Eagles. And you're right, Dave. It does help you in terms of that play-action game. It helps you with getting those tight ends down the seam. And I do believe that you will see, you know, Dissly and Hollister. And I'm just as curious as Colby Parkinson because I've heard that Colby Parkinson has done well, that he has looked good so far. So don't be surprised if you see Colby Parkinson contribute. Maybe not with a ton of catches, but don't be surprised if he does, you know, have a surprise, you know, catch or two in this week's game.
Dave, I'm sure you'd like to see a former Stanford guy get involved a little bit. Happy to see that.
Absolutely. I like he confirmed last week when we talked to him because I heard the replay of the huddle on Saturday as I was driving to Home Depot. That he also experienced that, you know, because he went to Stanford, everybody's asking him. And then if you don't know the answer to the question, like, oh, you went to Stanford. I'm like, yeah, well, they didn't have that class there. Okay. You know, I'm not a tax attorney. All right. So, I can't wait to see, you know, what he's about because, you know, like I said, I don't think he's much of a blocker and that's fine, you know, but he's a tall dude that, you know, has a talent that I think that'll be interesting to see him get out there. If he can go out and play well. For me, anytime a rookie does anything, but, you know, this will be, I think, the second-to-last guy. I think he's played in a game, but this is the second-to-last guy, rookie, that has not been on the field. So, in other words, here's what I'm trying to say, Stacey, is that everybody from the draft has been on the field except for Colby Parkinson and Daryl Taylor.
Yes.
And I think we're going to see Daryl Taylor later, but that's pretty unusual. And coming into this season, knowing that they weren't going to have practice in preseason, it's hard for rookies to get any experience and get on the field. The fact that they have used all of their rookies this year, that's just good coaching and it's good selection by John Schneider and his staff of getting guys that are just game ready coming in here.
All right, this has been The Huddle with Jake Heaps, Dave Wyman, and Stacey Ross. We're wishing you guys a happy Thanksgiving, getting everyone ready for the Seahawks Monday night game against the Eagles. Let's hope for a win. I think we're all going to be excited to see one. All right, stay tuned because Dave Wyman is going to be coming up next on 710 ESPN Seattle. This has been The Huddle.